All right, let me go ahead and begin by introducing myself to you. I am Sam Wilcutt. I am not a youth minister, neither am I the son of a youth minister. I have once stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, though, before. I preach for the Southwest Church in Austin, Texas. However, I have been in youth ministry back many, many moons ago and spent at least 6 years with the church in Adamsville, Alabama, working as an associate minister with primary emphasis in youth ministry, and did a lot of things in that role, taught their teenage Bible class, and planned events, and worked with the families. Things that most youth ministers do. I also have been members of and have preached for small congregations that cannot afford a youth minister, congregations that have to provide their own youth ministry. So what I hope to present before you in this particular class, I want to equip all of you with information. Information that you may be able to use. Now, many of you may be in established congregations with a great youth work that is ongoing. At Southwest, when I came there, they already had a very diligent work involved and a lot of youth work. So even coming in as a pulpit minister, even though we did not at the time have a youth minister, there was not really anything for me to do. My job and focus is on pulpit ministry, and that's it. And that's great because we have elders and deacons and families and members who are already involved in that. But some of you may be at congregations where, as was already mentioned, you only have six children, and maybe you're struggling into implementing what you can do as a congregation to provide for opportunities for your young people to grow, to mature, and to strengthen in their faith. And so if you are able to go through this information that we're going to go through together, if you can just find one thing that is helpful to you, one thing that you can take and implement, then this will be a success. All right, the very first page. And again, Brother Moore is going to be bringing some additional packets of this. So as soon as he enters the room, if you need a copy, just be sure you grab one. We're going to go ahead and begin, though. This is a basic model of youth ministry, designing and implementing an effective program. So, page one, we want to begin by denoting the fact that there are a lot of things that most congregations already do. Things that are implemented with two strategies, both faith building as well as educational responsibilities. And so when we think about the opportunities, even with our Bible classes, every Sunday morning we offer a Bible class, every Wednesday night we offer a Bible class, we ought not to dismiss what we're already doing. And as a matter of fact, Corey has even pointed out through the book that he presented and encouraged, the fact that even with what we're doing, we may be neglecting things within that that we need to improve. There may be some areas that we need to look at. So certainly, Sunday morning Bible classes, Wednesday evening Bible classes are wonderful opportunities that we ought not to just dismiss. We are giving our young people an opportunity 2 hours a week to be able to sit at the feet of individuals who are instructing them about God and how to make God's Word relevant to their lives. We ought to put the very best people, qualified, capable, mentors, models for Christ, those are the ones we want to have before them to be teaching them. I had suggested even one class to be textual, one class to be practical. This is what we did. Oh, let me backtrack. Having worked in youth ministry and labored with congregations where even I had to somewhat take an active role in planning, this is the body of work that we implemented specifically with the last congregation I was with in the greater Memphis area, a little congregation called Munford, Tennessee. And so a lot of this is based on that. And so I'm presenting what we had utilized before. Monthly youth, yes. We have, raise your hand. Here's some more copies. Excellent. Good. Thank you so much. Oh, yes. Thank you. Excellent. Okay, great. Yep, raise your hand. Good. Monthly youth Bible studies. To have an opportunity, bare minimum, once a month, 12 times a year, to have all of the youth together. You can decide whether you want to have it at the church building. You can do it on a Sunday evening after the evening service. You can decide whether you want to do it a Friday night in the home of one of the members. There are options galore, and how you implement that is purely up to you. For some congregations, it works well with one. For other congregations, it works well for another. But try to provide an opportunity for the youth to get together once a month, spending several hours together, both as a means of fellowshipping and studying God's Word together. I believe it's very important, and one of the things I love about living here in this particular area, and I know that many of you also in other areas have this as well, it's important for youth of other congregations to get together on a regular basis. To be able to learn that God's people does not only comprise the local congregation, but it's very important to reach out. So having some area youth meetings happens very often during the summer, but it can happen throughout the year as well. I'm a big fan of retreats. I love retreats. I love the benefit that retreats have. So have at least one retreat. And I like, you'll note I put on there family retreat. I'm a big believer in the uniting of the family. And one of the fallacies I've seen through the years is congregations who put so much emphasis only in youth, it's almost as if an unintentional byproduct is the youth are over here and they do nothing with their parents, they do nothing with the older members of the congregation, and there's a natural segregation, if you will. I think we ought to be about the uniting of mother, father, son, and daughter. So have a family retreat. In fact, a little idea, a little bug we can put in your ear, is to have the family retreat, have the lessons all dealing with the strengthening of the home, the individual home, and then throughout the weekend, actually have activities that force mother, father, son and daughter, the family unit, they serve as a team, and there are activities and functions where the teamwork is the family unit. And I promise you, you do that, your families will come away bonded, which is what it's all about. A lot of congregations are involved in some form of Bible Bowl competition. Monthly devotionals for each youth group, youth category. We'll talk about that a little bit later as far as the youth categories. Summer camps, I know with Hensel, Ida, Peach Valley, there's lots of opportunities I know of in the immediate area. And then vacation Bible school. Here are some opportunities that are easy that many are already doing. So you can go down and check and see which ones you're doing and which ones maybe are some ideas. Now, on the next page, here are some suggestions. If you're ever in a position as a parent, as a deacon, as an elder, as one who works with youth, and you're thinking, what do we do? What can we do with our young people? Let me tell you, here's an entire list of things that you can do. And this list is not exhaustive, but certainly it provides a large number of opportunities. The first four are all service-oriented because I do believe it's very important to instruct and train our young people in the role of service. Give them opportunities to serve and learn the necessity of it. So whether it's a senior banquet honoring graduating seniors or senior saints or parents or a teenager banquet aimed at demonstrating the love that parents are to have toward their teenagers. Here are some opportunities where young people can be involved in that. Lock-ins and lockouts. Now, I'm really telling my age because does anybody know what a lockout is? Most people know what a lock-in. A lockout is just the opposite, where I did this in my past. We would actually, 10 o'clock at night, you'd be locked out and we would spend the entire night. But see, that was before curfew laws and all. So you might want to cross that one off your list. But I promise you, we didn't get into any kind of trouble much. And I like the next one, canoe trips. Listen, my father is a preacher, and we were in small congregations just about my entire life. Some congregations where literally I was the only young person in my category. But I remember very fondly our annual congregational canoe trip. And something so simple to come together, to have fun, was an opportunity by which I still look back and think of with fondness. So, you know, lots of opportunities. And you'll see down the list there are some where you can see the Memphis flair, whether it's the Pink Palace, Memphis Children's Museum, Memphis Chicks baseball, Memphis River Kings hockey, Memphis Grizzlies basketball. Just cross those out and supplement whatever opportunity of whatever area or city you live in. A lot of suggestions for activities. Now, the next two pages are intended really for us to impress upon the young people. Not what we can do for you, but now what you can do. We have to, from adolescence into their teenage years, try to encourage young people, you are valuable to God. You are important and you are valuable. We ought never to be in a position where our young people grow up thinking that I'm only going to be relevant or valuable until I become an adult. And that's not the case at all. There are so many things young people can do. Here's 90 of them. So if they are looking for ideas, what can I do? What role may I play? What service can I offer? What activity can I be involved in that is important to God and faith building? Listen, here's 90 things. And you may look through the list and say, you know what? It would be good for us to organize all of our young people to be involved in this particular activity. But there are a lot of things our young people can do. I certainly don't need to tell you as a fine class, but I do stop and pause every so often and think about how much God has used young people in the past. And I think about all the biblical examples with young people like David and young girls even, and young men like Timothy, just a few examples, how God can use them in very meaningful, powerful ways. And that is the case even today. All right, the next page is a youth questionnaire. And this was a questionnaire that I offered our young people at the beginning of every fiscal year, I'll say. Once a year, we had the youth group together. It was probably at one of their monthly devotionals, and I handed these out and I asked them to fill it out, to keep in touch, to be able to learn from them. What suggestions do you have? What goals should we set for this next year? What changes have taken place from last year to this year? Are there some additional needs that maybe you have as a person or your family has? What are some areas of growth you now see? It's very important not to make assumptions. We talked to our young people back 3 years ago and asked them what they wanted to do, and that's sufficient now. We change. We all grow. And so I did this every year. Usually, about this time of the year, when school began, is when we as a youth ministry would reinvigorate and kick off the new year. We'd have a big activity planned, bring in the younger ones who are moving up into the next bracket and welcome them to the new bracket. And then this is when they would get this youth questionnaire. Also, having them fill it out makes them feel like, hey, somebody listens to me. They like my ideas. I actually have an idea, and they're willing to listen to my idea. And so they're involved as well. They have to be invested in these, because you as parents know that, you know, we can force, so to speak, but we really can't force. We can physically make them, but we can't mentally make them. So they have to be invested in it. Next page. These are the goals to accomplish whenever you're organizing a youth program. Now, we did four categories, and these are based not upon numbers. These are really based upon the educational breakdown. And some congregations can adjust based upon the makeup of their congregation. But I'd ask you to consider not to make too many adjustments, because anyone who's, well, you know, even with your own children, you know that a third grader is not on the same wavelength as a seventh grader. And a sixth grader is nowhere in the same wavelength as a tenth grader. And so keeping these brackets helps them to be able to associate with their peers and to be able to provide activities that are geared and instruction opportunities that are geared for them. So we had four, second grade and under, third through fifth, sixth through eighth, and ninth through 12. But you can adjust that even as that. Number two, youth leaders. And I use the term youth leader as that which would talk about whoever is responsible for the program in your congregation, whether it be a youth minister or a deacon, group of deacons, parents, volunteering. The youth leaders ought to designate certain goals for the group and do so for each group, including the regular activities and devotionals, and to communicate these with the deacons who are in charge or elders. And elders need to be informed of what's happening. That's very, very important. Number three, remember the parents, because the parents are very important. So don't necessarily just plan things and ignore the parents. They have to be involved as well. Keep them in the loop. Communicate with them. That's number four. Conduct periodic meetings with the parents to keep them involved. Even the older I get, I still believe that a lack of communication is one of the greatest downfalls of any congregation. And whether it's elders to members, or whether it's parents to children, whether it's youth leaders to youth, problems in communication exist, and it never turns out well. So always communicate. Now, back in the day, before Al Gore invented the internet, we would have regular meetings where we met once a month, and we would say, okay, this particular Sunday night after the services, we're just going to have 15 minutes. Let's go over all the activities for the new month, for the next month. But now with email, email is a wonderful way to communicate. Maybe you can cut down on the physical meetings, and maybe you can just communicate with parents through email, Facebook, notification, things of that nature. But just communicate. That's the goal. Number five, I like the utilization of bulletin boards. I don't see that very often. Let me tell you, we had at Adamsville a bulletin board just outside the teenager's classroom. And as a youth minister, I made it a practice. Number one, I didn't fall into the trap that some congregations do with their signs out front, where you put a sign up, put a message on the sign, and then leave it there for like 3 weeks or 6 weeks, and it's never changed. What happens? When that's the case, what happens? Nobody really looks at it. It's the same old, same old. Bulletin boards have a manner of falling into that very same trap. Bulletin board gets put up, it's up there for months, nobody really looks at it. I made it a practice every week to change a bulletin board. Every week. So that when the children came by and they were entering their classroom, they walked right by the bulletin board, there was something new on the bulletin board every time. Every time you do that, they'll start to pay attention. It may be a little cartoon that I found with a funny quip. Maybe it is included with that. I'm giving you ideas of all the things that were done. I would put for the week, if Bethany and Jacob had birthdays this coming week, I had a happy birthday on this day and had something saying, this young person's birthday is this coming week. Let's all wish him a happy birthday. I would have a little article that would be encouraging. An article on modesty. An article on sharing Christ with your friends in school. Some short article that they could quickly read in just seconds. And I would have that and change that. You would almost think of it as a weekly newsletter, bulletin board style. And by doing that and changing it every week, they would be able to look at that, gain some information. Also, it would have a calendar of the youth activities. It would have any notes, any information necessary for the upcoming activity. Hey, get your permission slip in for this activity. Or hey, don't forget we've got a devotional for Thursday night. Here's the house, here's the place, here's the time, you need to bring this. You could really, really use that to your advantage. Make VBS number 6 a vital part of your planning. Number 7, let me tell you about a Timothy class that I did. I find this an opportunity. It was one of the best things I did in youth ministry. During the summer, we would let me backtrack just a hair. A lot of youth ministry is really primarily only looked at teenagers, right? High school, maybe junior high. It seems to be the focus of a lot of youth ministry to be the older children. I find that highly unfortunate. I find that we are losing golden opportunities when we do not put as much emphasis in the smaller children, second grade and down, as we do the high schoolers. Those of us who are parents developmentally know that the first 6 years of a child's life is when they are going to, their character is going to be developed. Their priorities are going to be developed. So they're like sponges. And so I would have a Timothy class for second grade and under every Tuesday morning during the summer. I would have it at the church building in the fellowship hall, the annex, and they would come at 10 o'clock. As they entered in, I would have, you've seen those, the classrooms a lot of congregations have for the smaller one where the tables are like this high off the ground, tables specifically for children, for small children. I would have those tables in there with all the chairs around them, and as they arrived at the building, I would have coloring sheets of biblical characters like Jesus or Peter or Paul. I would have coloring sheets with crayons all set out from place to place, ready for them to arrive. And they would immediately come, go straight to their chair, sit down and begin to color. And they would do that until it was time to begin. We would spend some time, we'd spend about 10 to 15 minutes singing children's songs. We would then have a Bible lesson. 1 year we did the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. So we took one attribute of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, and that was our lesson for that week. So we'd have a short Bible lesson on a particular subject within a whole strain of theme. We would have an arts and crafts activity. Kind of think about this as a little bitty vacation Bible school opportunity. We would do it every week. We'd have arts and crafts, and then we would have some fun game, and we would go from 10 till about 11:30, and 11:30, we'd have lunch provided. And it was really easy. We know how great parents are and wonderful volunteers. Go to Sister Jackson, the widow of the congregation, and say, "Sister Jackson, on Tuesday, July 16th, can you provide lunch for about 12 of our little darlings?" And she would say, "Oh, yes, I'd love to." And she would come and she would have lunch ready so that 11:30, lunch was provided. And we would do that every week during the summer. It was a great... Now, also, we would... The older teenagers who are not working during the summer, don't have plans, can come and be your assistants. They could be your helpers and provide them an opportunity to mentor the younger ones. So, that was a Timothy class. Number 8, was a leadership training class. Many of you are familiar with Lads to Leaders as an example, or you can provide your own leadership training class. These were the goals that we had established at Munford when I built a youth program there. And these are the things that we want to do. Now the philosophy, next page. What is the philosophy of any youth program? It has to get back to the following three things. Number one, our whole purpose as Christians is to win souls. It is to be about our Father's business. It is to be about the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ, as we often refer to as the Great Commission. We have young people that are growing up, hopefully, in godly homes. Some are not. Many are. And we want to be able to help parents. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We want to be able to help parents lead them to Jesus Christ. So number one, it's all about winning souls. Number two, once we gain their soul for Christ, we want to immediately instruct them how they can share their faith with others. We want to be able to put them in an opportunity of them being equipped as young people when they are zealous and on fire. We want to send them out bringing their friends and all of their peers to Jesus Christ as well. If you recall, especially those of you who obeyed the gospel at a young age, but even if you were older, you remember the zeal. I remember as a teenager when I obeyed the gospel. I tell you what, I came up out of those baptismal waters where my father had baptized me, and I felt like I could conquer the world as a young teenager, right? I felt like if Satan were right there in front of me, I could grit him with my teeth, and I could just easily defeat him. Zeal, enthusiasm. I had a sick'em attitude. And we want to take advantage of that, especially with our young people. And then number three, we want to train and develop our youth. We want to provide them opportunities of developing their faith, growing. The Bible describes the whole Christian life as a growth process. They begin as newborn babes. We feed them with milk. We want them to mature to meet. And so we are about the process of that. The next is a letter. When we began our program, we sent a letter to all of our parents. And this letter, at the very bottom of the page, you'll note, it was signed by the elders. Why is that important? Why is that important, right? It's got to be from the top. That's exactly right. The elders have to be on board with everything that is being done. Everything is under their oversight. And so we want the parents to know that the elders are concerned about their children, and the elders are concerned about the opportunities that are being provided for them. So this letter was from them. And so this letter, by them, to the parents, asked them to do the following four things. Number one, pray for the spiritual development of your child. Number two, provide proper discipline for your children. Number three, protect the sanctity of your home. Number four, prove your love by being with your children. And so here's a letter that that we sent to every single family of the congregation by them as we began such. Now, let's talk about the next page. Basic assumptions. There are some assumptions you understand we shouldn't assume, but here are some basic ones that are certainly at the foundation of the youth program. I cannot stress number one enough. Parents are God's ordained youth ministers. Parents. Now there may be an individual, Corey comes to mind as an excellent individual at West Hill, but still, even he understands that he cannot supplement any mother or father. Parents are God's ordained youth ministers. When it comes to the teaching and the disciplining and the training in the home, the Bible always says it comes from mother and father. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, as well as Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. And so parents have to understand that. Number two, some parents will not be modeling and teaching Christian principles at home. We have to assume that. And that's certainly on the heart of a youth minister, of deacons, of all elders, parents, preachers, those who volunteer in youth ministry. This is something that we have to understand. We cannot assume that every child in every home within the congregation is a darling little Johnny and Susie, that everything that they are being taught at home is godly and uplifting. Listen, it doesn't happen. Then think about, most congregations may have a few youth who do not come from godly homes. And these are great opportunities. I think back in my past to the opportunities I've had in youth ministry to be able to help in the conversion of some young people who did not have a single Christian in their entire family. And they were literally a first-generation Christian. And they were my most faithful young people. You know why? You know why. Why? They did not take it for granted. That's exactly right. Now listen, I was an individual reared in a godly home from the age of 5 years old. So basically my whole life, 5 years old, my parents obeyed the gospel. And from then on, I've been in a godly home. I don't take that for granted. I don't. But I can. And those of you who have godly parents know. Now, conversely, here's an individual who's had to work themselves out of denominationalism, work themselves out of error. They didn't have that background that you and I have had. They don't take that for granted. Number three, because young people are so impressionable, our youth program will try to use significant people like Bible class teachers who are good spiritual examples. We want to surround our young people with good role models. Listen, don't allow anybody to be involved in the upbringing of your young people. I hope you understand that. We're living in dark times. And we cannot just put anyone who says, hey, I'll be involved. We want good role models. Number four, because young people need to develop their own faith, and we want to provide them opportunities where they can implement spiritual values in their everyday life. It's not only about instruction. That's important. That's not sufficient by itself. Teach and then give them opportunities to put what they learn into practice. Number five, because people become disciples by action, we will seek to involve as many parents, adults, and young people in leadership roles as possible. Try to make it a congregational-wide effort. Number six, the responsibility of shepherding rests with the elders. That's important and must be understood. Shepherding comes from the elders. Number seven, not all of our youth or families can be involved in every facet of the program, nor should they be expected. That's something that's a little bit difficult for a lot of people. And there are some families who are almost being made to feel guilty because they're not at every youth devotional or activity. That ought not to be the case. We want to encourage, but we ought not to demand it or make people feel guilty. You think about some particular activities, even with the, take just for example, the Lunch Lady program. The offer is made, but not every young people can do what is requested to be done. And so we need to be understanding of that. Number eight, communicate every aspect clearly and effectively. That gets back to the need for communication. Number nine, all activities will support and attempt to accomplish the goals for the program. And that gets back to what we've already said earlier. Your goals are to win souls for Christ, train to evangelize, and build faith. So every activity needs to be with that understanding. Here are the responsibilities of parents. Next page. Responsibilities of parents. Number one, be involved. Listen, it is so frustrating. I'm going to say it. I don't know who you are, so I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes, but it is frustrating to no end for parents who do nothing more than just drop children off and never get involved. Corey, does that frustrate you? I know it does. Yeah? Be involved. Be involved. Can't stress that enough. Number two, monitor their attendance and participation. Listen, it all falls upon you as a parent. And we want to certainly emphasize that. We want you to monitor their participation as well as their attendance and be concerned when it seems to be dropping or lacking. Number three, discuss the program with your child. Discuss ways that they could be involved, ways that they can grow, serve, and model Christ. Number four, make time to fellowship with adults who are your age and have children too. Not only do we want to emphasize the fellowship among young people, but the fellowship of their parents with other parents. What a wonderful way to take the lunch lady mentality, and not just in the youth, but here's a new family comes in, is visits for the first time. What do? We have families that immediately go and bring them in, make them feel welcome. So certainly look out for others as well. Number five, have the confidence as a parent that you can ask questions, suggest ideas, or even express problems and disagreements at any time. We don't want any parents to feel like they don't have a voice in the program or what's going on with the congregation. We want them to have confidence to be able to ask questions or even express disagreements. Number six, model the kind of Christian life you want your child to follow. Number seven, be willing to be a volunteer for youth activities. Now again, these are things that are somewhat understood, but it helps to communicate clearly and to inform parents. These are the things that we really want you to be involved with. All right, the next two pages, disciplining youth. I'm going to take some time with these. I want to share these with you. Hopefully, we'll, like Corey, we'll have an opportunity at the end of the class, maybe share some of your feedback. It's not easy when you're on a youth outing and all of a sudden you're driving the church van to Six Flags and you have, well, I could tell you some horror stories. We were going to a youth rally back some years ago, and we actually had we had some guys sitting on the very back row of the church van use an empty bottle to relieve themselves, and then proceeded to empty it out the window of the church. Okay, there are going to be opportunities where you're going to need to discipline, right? Now, let's begin by the first paragraph. Discipline is not punishment. All right? Discipline is not punishment. Punishment is the price for doing wrong. But discipline is the use of techniques to avoid the wrong that happens. So let me give you some suggestions we implemented. And these were made available to all involved in youth work, youth ministry. Number one, and I hope you can take these and apply them even to your own individual family. Number one, let the youth know the rules ahead of time. You got to know the rules. If you punish without them knowing the rules, you're doing a great disservice to your young people, parent or youth minister. Number two, let the youth know the punishment ahead of time. If you break this rule, here is what will happen. Let them know ahead of time. Once again, very, very important. Number three, be sure your punishment always is worse than the offense. If not, hey, you know, it doesn't really matter. The offense isn't so bad, I can manage it. Number four, do not allow the youth to take the rules lightly. These are important. Explain, teach. Number five, rules are not made to be broken. That's an old cliche that is false. God expects obedience. He does not want us breaking rules. Number six, impress the youth that breaking rules is of the devil. Number seven, always increase the punishment with the number of offenses. Always increase. Number eight, explain the rules to your young people. Number nine, preach the rules. Do you see the progression here? The emphasis that's given? Number 10, and this is me, and I know some are not like this. Let them fear you. It does not bother me at all. Not at all. Not at all. God taught a respectful fear that was necessary for Him, and that, to me, biblically, is a pattern for authority and the respect for that, even in the home. And so when we're dealing with the chain of authority, with disciplining youth, I don't mind. I want them to feel as if they can come and share any burden with me, but I also want them to know that if they break the rules, I cannot just overlook that. Okay? So let them fear you. Number 11, never discipline in anger. Never discipline in anger. Losing your temper is not a godly thing. Number 12, discipline in private. Never do it in front of the other children. Never do that. Bad things happen. Always pull the child to the side and discipline privately. Number 13, realize that not every young person should be handled in the same way. Those who are parents of multiple children understand that to be true. So young people need to be handled differently. Number 14, do not ever lose your temper in front of the children, based back on number 12. Number 15, do not treat teenagers as little children. That's very important. I promise you, you will go a long ways if you treat them older than they are rather than younger than they are. So do not treat them as little children. Number 16, always back authority. That is, here's a parent that says, I have said this, disciplined my child this way. You always back the parent. Don't ever take the position of the child or the stance of the child. You always back authority. Very, very important. Number 17, make the youth see that obedience is a form of loyalty. Number 18, win their confidence by handling the situation with wisdom, explaining your action, and leading them in the proper way of doing what's right. Now, this is basic discipline 101, even from the father. Coming home from work, I got in trouble. My mother said, stay in your room. Wait till your father gets home. Father, come in. Sit down. What did you do? Why did you do that? Where did you go wrong? There's the instruction, right? Same thing, same thing. Number 19, handle your older teenage boys or potential troublemakers by using their trouble and turning it into a productive service. Channeling that. Number 20, don't be pulled into a power struggle. It doesn't work with teenagers. Number 21, don't just prove your point. Solve the problem. Number 22, don't be afraid to admit your mistakes and apologize. It happens. Parents are not perfect. Youth ministers are not perfect. Man up. If you make a mistake, then apologize. Number 23, follow times of punishment with special attention. What did Jesus do with Peter after he denied him? Right? John chapter 21. Number 24, pray with your youth while disciplining them. Absolutely, pray with them. Number 25, when disciplining or punishing, let the child tell you what he did wrong and why it was wrong. It's best that way they know it's not just you. Number 26, teenage couples. Oh, it happens. I've got my son right there now. Teenage couples who disobey rules should be separated. Number 27, when you have decided the verdict and the judgment, be sure they are kept completely by all who are involved. Now, if you look on the next page, here are some guidelines for that we would always follow. There are guidelines for transportation with regards we're leaving the church building and the church bus or church van. We're going from point A to point B. So anytime there's transportation issues, then these guidelines ought to have been kept. I know that not everybody may agree or follow these, you know, to each his own, but these are the ones that we did. There were rules for activities at the building. You see after that, certainly Christian modesty, very, very important for all activities. And then chaperones. Now, I know you may think I was pretty hard back in the day, but we had a chaperone ratio of one adult for every five children. And if we did not have that ratio, we canceled the activity. That's very important. You do not want to find yourself with an activity of 10 to 12 young people and you have one adult to try to take care of them all. It does not work out well. And so this was a guideline that we followed. Now, trip expectation forms. So say you're going to travel one weekend to some activity. You're going to make it a whole weekend. You're going to be gone Friday night. You'll be coming back Sunday, staying with a church somewhere. You've got a really big trip. This is that expectation form. Pass this out to all young people. Here you go. This is what we expect. You check each box. I have read this, and I understand. I will give my respect. I will bring a great attitude. My friends and I will be the best possible character. Look down toward the bottom. A failure to follow the rules will result in, number one, first offense, a warning. Number two, telephone call to your parents, even in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, if necessary. And then number three, if they've committed three offenses, then your parents will be coming to pick you up. Now, you see at the very, very bottom, that was not only signed by the children, that was signed by the parents as well. They did not go on the trip. They did not board the church van unless they gave me the signed copy, parents and youth. That way they all knew and there were no problems. Now that's what discipline's about, avoiding problems. I don't know if you feel it's relevant, but I certainly do. I would not want to travel a couple of hundred miles away and not have a medical release form on all the children because heaven forbid you have to take a child to an emergency room and you have no information, you are not in any authority to do anything, you don't know what they're allergic to, and maybe you can't get a hold of a mother or father. Those things happen. We have to be like Boy Scouts. We have to be what? Be prepared. You weren't a Boy Scout, Austin? Be prepared. Be prepared. Medical release form. Have it, actually had it notarized, and then I kept a file in the church office, and then once, you only do it once, but then keeping the file on office, if I know that Betty Sue is going on the trip, I would go to the church office to the file, pull out her file, and bring it with me as the one responsible, and that way we had that information. The final page is simply for the benefit of those who are in youth ministry, maybe you are planning an activity and you need X number of dollars for this function. This was a form that we would use under the oversight of the elders to give to the treasurer. This is the activity. This is the purpose. I need X number of dollars. Sign, sign, sign. Everything above board and kept very moral. All right. I hope this helps. It certainly helped us. And for the congregation that may be starting out, maybe you can use this, or even if you're established with a youth program, maybe there are things here that will benefit. Are there any? I realize that was a second. I tried to get through hurriedly. Any comments or questions you have?